Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now let's continue what we began to discuss last time about seven attitudes that beget failure and how the wise should be careful to avoid them. I remember I began by reading from the book of Proverbs chapter 1, in which Solomon was giving counsel concerning how life should be. And I emphasized something there, that when he was warning about the counsel of evil people, that will say, let us go and lay in wait, alright, for the innocent. Let us kill them, let us rob them, let us fill our homes with the spoils, alright. He was advising, he said, look, don't walk in their paths. That is, their paths is not just where they go, but their attitude to life. I said that life is in parts. That is, what God did when he created this order of this life is that he said that, look, I have set courses for direction in life. And each person that will want to succeed or want to fail, all it needs to do is to choose a particular path for his life. I've said this several times and I need to say it again. Life does not always give you that which you desire. You cannot just choose something in life and it is yours automatically. And that's why the Englishman said, if wishes were horses, even beggars would ride. What life gives you, rather, are the products of the choices that you make. And that's why David had to say, how can a young man keep his way pure? That we must learn to keep our ways according to the word of God. Because it is God that has given us a description of what each path in life will bring. He said, the path of peace they know not. That is, there is a path that leads to peace. He said, stand by the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. He said, and you shall find rest for your souls. That is, if I want rest for my soul, it's not just because I desire rest, that's why I will get it. But he said, if I want rest for my soul, I should go and get the path that leads to rest. And let me say this again, you cannot redesign life. God made this life and he set the paths before you were born. So the road to success or to failure is determined by the attitude. No, I said that the parts of life are moral. They are reflected, all right, by our attitudes. So the kind of moral choices I make in life is what directs me either on the road to failure or the road to success. And this series, I'm teaching those ones that lead to failure because I want you to be careful to avoid them. And I said we are going to talk about seven things. And the first of them is the matter of fear. And to begin today's discussion, I would like to read from the book of Psalms chapter 23. Now David was speaking here. In verse 1 he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths, notice that, of righteousness for his name's sake. Now listen, as a result of this, now please, I want you to bear this in mind. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He said, you have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, this is the conclusion. Surely, goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, let me quickly define the word righteousness again, because I want to talk about this issue of paths of righteousness. Now, righteousness basically means to do that which is right. That is, to be involved in practicing what God has sanctioned, saying this is the correct thing to do. That is what it is. For example, if you want to be pleasing to God, God said this is the first thing. You must have faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we say there is a righteousness that comes by faith. That is, God sanctions your ways if you begin life, all right, by facing life from the perspective of faith in his only begotten son, Christ Jesus. Subsequent upon that, if you do, the way you are doing your things in life is what the Bible refers to as righteousness. That is, if it is in keeping with the order of God. Now, he said this, while I'm walking on the path of rightness, while I'm walking on the path that's supposed to be in a manner pleasing to God, I may find myself walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I want to talk about that issue of the valley of the shadow of death. He said, even though I walk through that place, I am not afraid. I will fear no evil. The reason is because God is with me. Please, I need to explain this. Because you see, what is fear? Fear is that dread of things going wrong that cripples us from receiving the blessing that God has prepared for us. There's one thing Jeremiah said when God was going to speak through Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 29, very famous scripture, verse 11. He said, I know the thoughts I have towards you, They are thoughts of good and not of evil. My desire is to give you a future and a hope. God has good plans for us all the time. Some time ago, I said on this broadcast that even in the center of our adversity, there is a name that God bears. And if we learn to call him by that name, even in the center of our adversity, then we will discover the good thing indeed that he wants to do in our lives. That is, there is no time that God is not thinking good thoughts about us. Are you getting my point? Now, what is fear? Fear is when I'm thinking that evil is what will come upon me. Therefore, I am crippled from receiving the good thoughts that God has towards me. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? Now, please bear this in mind. That a lot of times we get into that situation because of righteousness. He said, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Are you getting my point? Now, a lot of times when we want to do that which is right, what happens is that we begin to see the consequences of doing that which is right. You know, I like to use Bible examples, all right, to illustrate these things. For example, you remember the story of Joseph and Potiphar. Let us assume that Mrs. Potiphar had threatened Joseph, all right, with imprisonment if he did not agree to go to bed with her. Now, what is fear? Fear will be when Joseph will settle down and start sitting down and saying, look, oh, hey, what will happen to me if I go into prison? Because right now, I am already asleep. Now, how will my life be if I'm now taken into prison? Now, what is putting him into the risk of going to jail is because of righteousness. Because he has said that when his master's wife approached him for immorality, he said, it is wrong for me to do this. That is the path of righteousness that God is leading me through, says I must not do this. I said, spiritual paths, the paths of life, I said they are spiritual and they are moral. That is, it's our attitude towards life and a reflection, all right, of our moral characteristics. So this was a moral choice that this young man had to make. Do I follow this woman and therefore be out of the risk of going to jail? Or do I stand by righteousness and be at risk of going to prison? Now, I'm talking about the issue of fear. So fear is when I begin to play the scenario that things will not go well with me. Now, I'm talking about this issue of fear because, you see, fear is one major reason why people cannot please God. That's why when Jesus was teaching in the book of Matthew chapter 6, talking about why people, how people should walk in a manner pleasing to God, he said, don't be afraid. Now, please, that word fear is very important because Jesus said it. Don't be afraid of tomorrow. Don't take thoughts about it, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And with what shall we be clothed? He said, after these things, those who don't know God seek. Now, let me say this in passing. When I am preaching, that's why I hate people referring to me as a motivational speaker, because I am not a motivational speaker. My words are only relevant for those who have accepted the word of God as final, who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and who are holding on to God the Father as the source of their supplies. Because what I am doing is, like the Isaiah said, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. And don't want people to just say, there is no problem. Listen, in life, there are problems. Don't let's say there are no problems. But I'm saying that if you're a child of God, he said, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil because the Lord is with you. I am saying that if you're a child of God, God has better thoughts concerning your life than you can ever imagine about it. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? This is how fear cripples people. Because you see, the Bible says, narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few that find it. Now, when God wants to lead us sometimes through into that narrow way that leads to abundance, into that narrow way that leads to victory, what comes upon us, which Satan tries to sell to us, is the fear of what could go wrong. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? There's something I've experienced many times, and I want to say it again. Now, there are different ways people, you know, there are different reasons why people do what they do. Like I always say, I have never said, don't go abroad. I have just always said that if you think it is a security for your tomorrow, you've got a surprise coming. Are you getting my point? Now, a lot of times I have discussion with people. They say, you see, when you go to Europe, you can plan for your children. You can plan your future. You can plan. Now, so we say, okay, what if you stayed in a country like Nigeria and you help build a nation and repair the problems that have developed in our society? Are you following what I'm saying? Now, people will say, what will happen to your children? I remember a friend of mine who were talking. Now, this just tells us the meaning of the word fear. I'm discussing that fear thing properly. Many years ago, I was talking with a lady, a friend of mine, all right, a Christian sister. And we're just chatting. I said, if I get married, all right, that I will not let a housemaid raise my children, that my wife must be free to take care of the home, that I cannot allow my wife to take a job, all right, that we engage her from morning till night because I want, you know, to earn extra money. I remember what she told me. She said that, no, if you do like that, your children will go to public schools. What she implied was that I will not have enough money to meet all the challenges of life so that I'll be able to get the things that I really desired of life. Now, listen, I was speaking because we're having a discussion on God's order. We're having a discussion on what family should be. And let me say it clearly, it doesn't make sense. That is not Christianity, it's not good. That husband and wife wake up first thing in the morning and they have disappeared, and they disappeared for the whole of the day. They don't know who's raising their children, who the friends of their children are. They are not there and they are wondering why their children are becoming hooligans. I said from time that by God's mercies, I will not let that happen. And the lady said, you don't know what you are going to miss about life. You won't have even have enough money, do you understand, to send your children to good schools. Look, to the glory of God, I have not deviated from what I said that time, all right? And I'm sending my children to the school that I love for them to go. Do you get the point I'm making? I said then to her, listen to me. God is in charge. You see, Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. Listen to me. A lot of people are doing things they don't believe in because they are afraid that if they don't do those things, they won't have money to eat. A lot of people are engaged in doing things that they don't believe in because they are afraid that if they don't do those things, they will not have a car to drive. They will not have a house to live in. They think that life will just become very harsh for them. They don't understand that if it is a path of righteousness you are following, one thing you must never be is afraid. You must not be afraid. Because the person who's leading you in the path of righteousness already has a plan for your life. Listen to me. If it is your children, he has a future plan for them. He has planned a future for your prosperity. What he's saying to you is that don't soil your hands. What he's saying to you is that walk in integrity and you will prosper. Do you get my point? Yes, at the beginning, it may not look like, all right, prosperity is the order of the day in the path that you have chosen. But I, your God, I have set a course for your life that will only end in prosperity. He said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few that find it. The reason why few find it, because of fear. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? You know, interesting about fear? All these things are imaginations. Fear is the picture that Satan paints about the gloominess of your tomorrow. Meanwhile, by faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. So that if God says that good shall come upon you, then good is what you will experience. Fear is when Satan begins to explain to you that if you do that which is right, you will not prosper in this life. If you do that which is right, things will not go well for you. But by faith, we understand that the kingdom of God rules over all, and that God delights in the prosperity of his servants. What does he mean by his servants? Those who are doing things that are pleasing to him. He said, he guides me in the paths of righteousness. In the course of going through this path of righteousness, I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me explain what that means. All right? He said, when I walk through that, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. What does he mean by the valley of the shadow of death? That is the area where destruction and the power of Satan appears to be evident. That's what I mean by shadow of death. There are a lot of rich people. They can't go to their villages because they believe that, all right, there are witches out there that will kill them. There are people that they will never let their children go near their hometowns because they believe that there are some people there that don't like them and they will cast a spell upon them and something will go wrong. And this is sad. A lot of men who claim to offer people deliverance. What do they mean by deliverance? They will tell them, listen, it is a witch. Let me say it to you clearly. If anybody tells the source of your problems as a child of God is a witch in the village, he lies to you. If anybody tells you that stop going home to your village, all right? Because that is how the witches get power over you. They are lying to you. Unless you are not a child of God. And peradventure, you have been under the influence of such powers. Listen to me tonight. There is deliverance in Christ Jesus. Wherever you are, if you put up your two hands and say, Jesus, I forsake my former ways. I want to follow you from today. Wash me with your blood. All right? I want to be a child of God. Redeemed by your blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary. Anyone who can say that, all right, is automatically delivered from the power of the wicked one. You can go anywhere you want to go, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over every work of the devil. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is what it means to be a Christian. So a lot of people who God has delivered. I said that fear is that which does not allow us receive the fullness of God's abundance. God has delivered you, yet you cannot go to places where you can be of influence for God because you've lied to yourself that somebody is going to hurt me. It makes me laugh. I don't believe it. Now, not because I'm an ignorant person. Not because I'm so educated I don't believe that the power of the devil exists. I am telling you that I have tapped into superior power. The Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Fear. If you're a child of God, don't let Satan sell fear to you. Fear is the reason why you will not be able to prosper. Fear is the reason why God cannot bring abundance into your life like he would have loved to. When Peter was walking on the waters, now how did he come out to walk on water? It was because Jesus said to him, come. He leads me in the path of righteousness. That is, when you obey the word of God, you begin to see manifestations of victory. There was trouble. There was a storm. This man was on water. But because he was focusing on the word of God that said, come, he was floating. If you look, listen, right now all over the world is economic hardship. In Nigeria, stock market crashed. Are you getting my point? A lot of people are out of jobs. The price of the dollar just suddenly rose up through the ceiling. There's a lot of economic problems we know. Are you getting my point? But if you will, because of righteousness, continue doing that which is right, believe me, all you will experience is floating, victory. You will not go under the economic hardship. Jesus said to Peter, come. And there it was, Peter was floating, walking on water. Then something happened. He took his eyes away from righteousness. What is righteousness? Obedience to the word of God. He took his eyes away. He began to look at the troubles. Oh, look at it. Dollar has become almost 200 naira. Oh, look at it. Dollar has become so expensive. Oh, look at it. Many people are losing their jobs. Oh, look at it. The stock I bought for 14 naira is now worth only 7 naira. What am I going to do? I thought that was the future for my children. That's why you made a mistake in the first place. Oh, when I bought this land, I thought it would appreciate. Then I paid 500,000 naira for it. I thought that by now it would have reached about 4 million. But last time I tried to someone to help me see whether they can sell it. Someone was even pricing it 450. What is going to happen to me? The person begins to look at all the troubles of life. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Or those who are owing me money, they are not paying. And the Bible says that when Peter took his eyes away from the word of God, which said, come, he began to look at all these troubles. He said, fearing, he began to sink. What am I saying? A lot of the problems that we have in life, do you follow my point? It is not because the situations are bad. If you're a child of God, it is not those situations that really, really spoil things. It was the fear when we began to focus upon it. Listen to me. I said fear cripples us from receiving the fullness of God's blessings. The Bible says that the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, they turned back in the day of battle. The Bible says that they did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. What am I trying to explain? A lot of us, the problems we have is not the situation around. God has given us enough armor, enough reasons, all right, enough power to succeed. But we focus on the things that could go wrong. We focus on the problems that might arise. Therefore, we don't do anything about the issues of life and we begin to sink. A lot of those people that I'm talking about, after grumbling about the societal problems, about the economic hardship, they will turn to the normal job they used to do. Now listen to this. Where God will have lifted them up in the time of adversity, they will go down. Why? Because the skill that God gave them, even then, will begin to wear down. Do you understand my point? Because you see, your spirit affects your work. If you're a craftsman and you are afraid and there's gloom, all right, doom in your heart. Do you follow? When you start working, your skill will disappear. Do you follow my point? I always advise young people, especially if you're a child of God, before you go for an interview, don't pray, say, God, give me a job. That is good. Pray that prayer the night before. But before you go for the interview, talk to yourself. You're a victor. You're not a failure. You're a giver. You're not a beggar. This job you are going to take, you are going to use it as an opportunity to bless somebody, not as an opportunity to get something out of people. You're not a beggar. You're not going to, please help me, help me. I'm in distress. My father has been waiting for me all these years to get this job. Without this job, my family is going to suffer. If you have that attitude, when you go for that job, you will not get anything. Nobody will employ you. Do you know why? Because your beggarly, fearful attitude is showing on your face. And the man interviewing you may not know why, but your aura will be the aura of failure. Do you follow the point I make? But when you go with a confident heart, it shows in the words that you speak, the kind of questions that you will ask, and the kind of answers you will give to the questions that are asked you. It shows. The person who is interviewing you, he won't know, he will perceive of your triumphant spirit and will give you a job. Fear.
People start trembling. Listen, they now say that, look, okay, economy is bad. The person, the work he's supposed to do, he starts making mistakes. Maybe he or she works in a bank. Anytime he's trying to balance the books, 50,000 is always getting missing. 100,000 is getting missing. At the end of the day, he's using all his salary to pay back money that is missing. How did the money get missing? Because his heart was filled with fear. Therefore, he began to make mistakes. Fear, in the Bible says, Peter began to sink. Are you getting my point? Listen. I said that we are not saying there are no storms out there, but we are saying that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, than he that is in the storm, than he that is in the calamity, if indeed you are a child of God. Listen, don't be afraid, because God is with you. People say, what future for our children? I say, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And that's the person I'm investing my life in. I'm investing my life in being pleasing to God. I'm investing my life, all right, in working in a manner that's pleasing to him. I'm investing my life in doing his service. That is a kind of service that God has placed in your hand. And if you are trying to solve the problems of tomorrow today, what you are doing is that you are distracting yourself from focusing on that which God gave you to do today. He said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen to me. One of the things that fear does is that it distracts us from our current day's activities. You know, a lot of people make me laugh. They have not finished building their businesses. They are building a house in the village. You know why? Because of a war that happened years ago. They have not forgotten. They have not finished building their businesses. They are building their... And that house is sapping every energy in their business. Are you getting my point? Somebody walked to me once. They said, you should be building a house now. I said, why? They said, I'm not saying it is wrong. I'm not saying it is wrong. Once I have the resources, I will do that. But the point I'm making is this. I will not take money away from things that are for today. It says sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I start laying it up for some evil that I think may happen in 25 years time. That may not have a house. Believe me. Believe me. The man that has 100 houses is not as sure of where he will live in 25 years as I am sure of the fact that God will never render me and my children homeless. The Bible says that after these things the Gentiles seek, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Fear. Fear is the... Look, listen, I have seen people, God has given them money, alright? At least enough for the day. For them to live in a decent house, drive a good car, wear good clothes, and eat good food. Take a decent holiday occasionally. But no. You don't know what tomorrow will be like. They are buying money and keeping it in dollars. Not knowing whether the world will want to have their dollars in the next 10 years. You never can be sure of what tomorrow will be. The man is going and investing millions, hundreds of millions in one deep interior village where he may never live. Because he doesn't know what tomorrow will be like. And then he starts praying for a breakthrough. God said, I gave you breakthrough. But fear has taken it away from you. Do you get my point? Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Fear cripples us from receiving God's blessings. It does. And the cure is for you to know the word of God. The Bible says that God has not given up the spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. What is a sound mind? The heart that can obey God despite what the world says. That can hold on. Look, listen. The one that makes me laugh sometimes. There are women who are packing money and hiding just in case something goes wrong between them and their husband. Listen, you say, Pastor Banky, yeah, they know what they have seen. And I agree with you. But what I am preaching to you today is that you need to come out of the fear. The Bible says that this was what Jesus came to do. That he might deliver those who through the fear of death have been in bondage all their lives. Death is not just physical dying. Death is when we cannot experience the full manifestation of whatever it is that we are involved in. For example, you are a married person, your marriage is not happy. That is death. He said, because of the fear of death, they have been in bondage all their lives. You are hiding your checkbook. Your wife mustn't see it. She mustn't know the amount of money you have. There are men who build houses in their name alone, and their wife doesn't know about it. Nobody knows about it. Why? Because their uncle's wife was a terrible woman. So the fear of what happened to another person has crippled them from enjoying their marriage, because you can never be totally united and enjoy the marriage, all right, with somebody who you are hiding your money from. It's not possible. Fear. Number one attribute that leads to failure is fear. Listen, let me tell you how you tackle fear. Number one is with prayer. The Bible says, let us draw near to the throne of grace, Hebrews chapter 4, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. And there's another thing about boldness. Let me tell you something. A lot of the things you are afraid of will never happen. Let me say it to you again. A lot of the things you are afraid of will never happen. Let me say it one more time. Most of the things you are afraid of, they will never happen. You will not die early. You will not fail. Your children will not die. You will not become a failure. You will succeed. You will build bigger houses than your father ever saw. Are you getting my point? Your business will not collapse. The dollar, if it lies, let it become a 1,000 naira. Your business will not go under. If you believe in God and you hold on to these words, listen to me, you will only come out triumphant. Satan can never pull you down. And even if evil things were to happen, listen to me, there is a power of resurrection. Oh, that's one thing children of God must understand. There is a power of resurrection that allows you to come out bigger than you were when you went down. Listen, there's one way to tackle fear. That was how Esther tackled it. He said, if I perish, let me perish. Oh God, the day you can look problems in the face and say, I'm going to tackle you. If I perish, let me perish. You'll be amazed at the amount of power that God will release into your life. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? Listen, the path of righteousness means doing things the way God wants you to do it. There are some of you listening to me. The reason why you and your wife are not happy is because of the lack of trust in your heart. They say, you, a woman must never know everything you have. What if she plots against you? You will stand up in God's presence and say, God, this was what you said, that she's a companion of my youth. The two shall become one flesh. What if things go wrong? Say, let them go wrong. At least I have obeyed God. That's what it's called, if I perish, let me perish. Listen, many of the things I do in life, that's my attitude. I do them because they are right, not because I'm going to get a result. So I say, if I perish, let me perish. Pastor Banky, if you do this, what if you lose money? I like the way Robert Kiyosaki said it. He said, there are many, many, many poor people that have never lost a dime, but there's no single rich man that has never lost money. The people who always try to play safe are the ones that never get anything. But the ones who stand up boldly, using the spirit of Christ in them to face the challenges of life, are the ones that, come on. The Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion. When he roars at them and they don't budge, the problems turn around and they fly away. Listen, every time Jesus was on the storm with his disciples, what he always used to tell them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, it is I. Don't be afraid, because the first thing that really cripples your ability to succeed in life is that fear. So Jesus would look at them and say, don't be afraid, it is I. Do not be afraid. He said, why did you doubt? Why were you afraid? It is fear that makes you sink. It is not the power of the storm. What killed the children of Israel in the wilderness? Listen, it was not the power of the giants. It was the fear to face the giants. Every man who faced the giants through the whole lineage of Israel, go and read your Bible, from Joshua, Caleb, down to people like David and his strong men, there was not one of them that the giant killed. Not one. Every single one that faced the giant defeated the giant. And I'm speaking to you today as a child of God. If you will face that giant, you also will defeat him. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng. or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.